through that, okay? And he receives glory and honor and praise. Don't you love him tonight? That's why we came. See, we come and we bring our sacrifice of praise and we lay it here before him. And he comes down and we prepare our hearts for the word that's going to come forth. And then he comes in and washes us and cleanses us and wipes all those old things of Laodicea out of our life. And then at the end of the service, we can raise our hands and have true worship, true communion with him. Amen. Well, we're going to try this one too. If you know this one, sing with me. I heard this one at Brother Tim Hume's. I told Brother Nathan we needed to sing it. We were down there in March, and we haven't sang it yet. So I thought, what a wonderful time to sing this. The words go like this. We bring a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. We bring a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Yes, we offer up to you a sacrifice of praise. That's pretty simple, right? We bring a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. Oh, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you a sacrifice.
Bless you this evening. Good to be in church again together. Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave you seated tonight for a little while. We've got quite a few announcements and testimonies and things, so I want to share those. Lord willing, we will not be having service here Wednesday, September the 27th. So that's 3 weeks from today, Wednesday the 27th. There will be no service because the trustees are going to be doing some work to the building and things that week. And instead of having them stop right in the middle of it and tear everything apart and put it all back together, we just decided to cancel that service. So keep that in mind. We'll keep announcing it to remind you, and we'll put it on the website. But got several testimonies I want to share with you tonight. Sister Anna Pierce, she had texted us a while back and asked for prayer, and she sent in this testimony. She said, I just want to give a testimony. I ask you all to pray because I was having pain in my left side, but after that day, it seemed like the devil was really fighting me with it because I was believing I was already healed. One night a couple weeks ago, the pain got really bad. Then the question came to my mind, how long are you going to take this? I got to thinking about how the Bible says he is the high priest of our confession. So I just started confessing that I was healed out loud that night and all through the next couple of days. Well, I can now testify that the pain is completely gone. He made my body obey my confession. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We've had prayer here on Sunday night for Brother Brad Burgess. He was in the hospital with a stomach infection, and he's out of the hospital now and back home doing better. So I want to praise the Lord for that. And Peyton Bryant, my grandniece, they wanted to report that she has stopped throwing up and has gained weight and length, so praise the Lord for that. And they ask that we please pray that the Lord will help her body to start making the enzymes that she's been having to have enzyme treatments for on their own. And also one of her blood counts is higher than normal, so they're requesting prayer for those numbers to be normal as well. We'd had Sister Ellen Burrs come up for prayer Sunday night. She hadn't been able to sleep good because of just a constant pain in her legs that she'd been having. And she testified that after prayer Sunday night, she's been able to sleep fine, that the pain is much better. So I want to praise the Lord for that. And then Sister Tanya Burrs, which is Brother Jack's sister-in-law, she was scheduled. She came up for prayer Sunday night because they had found a cancer in her head, on top of her head there. And they had did some tests, and she was supposed to start chemo actually the week that they were here last week, but she had requested that the doctor move that treatment back because she wanted to be here for the special meeting. So they rescheduled her her first treatment for Tuesday, and we got this testimony from Brother Troy Burrs, her husband. He said, we went to the doctor this morning for the first round of radiation. She asked to see the doctor for a reevaluation. The doctor looked at it and asked, "What did you do? Did you put something on it, or have you been taking any medicine?" She said, "No, we just applied Mark 11:23, had ministers pray for us this weekend." The doctor said he would still suggest the radiation just in case there are microscopic cells present. She asked to do another PET scan, but he said there is so little there that a PET scan would not pick up anything. He said, worst case, you get radiation you don't really need. He said her immune system kicked in and started fighting it. Brother Troy said, I agree with that. The devil has kicked out and was cast out. Praise be to God. We'll show you that picture in just a moment, but I'll go ahead and describe it to you. Basically, for you Southern Indiana folks, the you know about those buckeyes that we have. She had a spot about the size of a buckeye right on top of her head here in her hairline, and it's completely gone now. You can't see it. And so the doctor said, we can give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. The doctor said that that he would go ahead and recommend it, but she said, "Well, can we do a PET scan to see if they can, you know, find anything of it?" And he said, "It's so microscopic it wouldn't show up on a PET scan." So I told her, or I told Brother Jack to tell her, I said, "You tell them they do whatever they feel led to do, but if it was me, and it was so microscopic that a PET scan wouldn't show it up, I would trust that God wouldn't heal at 99% and not to go through the radiation and all that," because she was worried about losing her hair and things like that. And I told him, I said, I don't think I would do it if it was me. I would just see when they schedule a follow-up, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever, and do the follow-ups as the doctor recommends and let him testify of the healing. But I wouldn't go through that. I don't think God does something 99% and doesn't do it all the way, but... my brother Alan, he's requesting prayer. He has to take a code test for his job tomorrow. And also, there's an unspoken prayer request for Sister Angela's daughter, Jamie. And there's some bad storms predicted to hit West Palm Beach by Sunday, come in from this hurricane and things. So please remember the believers and their homes there in prayer for safety. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Let's just stand together as we pray.
God bless you, saints. Let's go to prayer. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, first of all, for blessing us with fellowship, for the believers in Florida coming to be with us. Lord, what a grand set of meetings we had and how it raised our faith and blessed us so much. Most of all, Lord, I want to thank you for what you did for us here and for the believers there, the wonderful testimonies of Sister Burrs and Brother Troy's wife with the cancer, Lord. It raises our faith. We know that you're the healer. And we know that your word is true. But Lord, we love to see you work and in action. How we love to see these things come to pass. And now we have a set of requests, more people in need, people that are sick. Brother Nathan's grandniece, Lord, and she's fighting hard and she's pulled out a part of it, but yet she's still got a battle ahead, Lord. And we just pray that you'd go and be with that little child and help her to pull all the way out of whatever she's facing there, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, and for these other requests, people sick, people without jobs, people struggling with finances, all the different things that we're facing in this life, Lord, I just pray that you'd come and show us the way. And Lord, sometimes we can't see too far down the path. Maybe it's just the next step, Lord, but just reveal what we have need of, Lord, in each one of these situations. And now for this service, Lord, I pray that you'd come and open the word to us, Lord. Let it shine upon our lives and reveal anything that you'd have for us. And as Brother Hoover said, Lord, we bring our sacrifice of praise to you, Lord, knowing that you're the only one worthy of our praise and our love. Lord, we just love you so much, and we're thankful for this place to be with our brothers and sisters. Draw us closer together. Lord, I pray that you keep Satan away from us, how we'd love to get in and cause problems and contentions, Lord. But we just trust that you will come and just pour out your spirit of love upon all of us, Lord, that we might treat each other right. And Lord, just keep away anything that would cause problems, Lord. Bless Brother Nathan. Strengthen him, Lord. Help his voice as he's been singing and preaching and doing all he can for the kingdom. Just keep it strong and keep him strong for you, Lord. And all of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We got past our technical difficulties, so I want to share this photo with you. That's before and after. Amen. He's still Hebrews 13:8. That was in a period of about 24 hours that went down like that. So praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Hoover, God bless you.
He is my
God's good, isn't he?
Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to have Brother Christian with us all the way from Finland, and we'll be going there, Lord willing, in October to minister for a group that he's leading there of believers, and so good to have him with us tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. St. Matthew, chapter 4, and we want to look at verse 3 to begin with. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, I want you to notice, Peter, when he talked to Jesus and he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was positive. He had seen the identification of it. But when Satan goes to speak to this same man, he has a question with it. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Let's turn over to Matthew 27, just a few pages over there in your Bible, and look at verse 41 and 42. "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he," once again, if he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." It was the scribes and Pharisees saying this. That same Pharisee spirit still creeps right around today. Oh my, if Brother Branham was a prophet, let's see him do this. If he was vindicated, let's find 16 death certificates for the bridge. If this, if that, I don't question anymore. I've seen too much. It's not an if. He was. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we begin to look into your word again tonight, Lord, at how to find these Pharisees, Lord, to know that these spirits don't die. Even though the men that stood there and smote you on the face, the ones that took you to Pilate's hall, the ones that met you there in the garden and took you away and that questioned you, even though they aren't still here on the earth today, yet those spirits still live. The ones down through the ages that could stand there and see the vindication of the word in whatever age it was, whether it would be Abraham coming forth and having a child in his old age, or whether it would be Noah building a boat when there was no rain and yet you provided rain, whether it would be Moses speaking where there was no frogs and where there was no lice and where there was no hail, but yet you providing it, Lord, but yet men would stand and see those things come to pass and still call it fanaticism or call it Beelzebub or call it some type of a magician's trick. Those men are long gone and their bones are just nothing but dust, Father, but yet that spirit still remains and creeps right into this age that we live in. Father, help us to identify these things, Lord. Help us to not paraphrase or add a if to the word of God, but help us to recognize that when you say something that it's sure and that it's positive, Father. We thank you for these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother Branham begins to tell the story and how the angel came to me in 1955. He talks about the story when this picture that we have was taken in the Sam Houston Coliseum. And there had been a challenge. Brother Branham had been having meetings there in the city in Houston, Texas. And there was a man by the name of Dr. Best. He was a Baptist man. And he came and he challenged these things that were taking place. And he said, the Baptists didn't believe that. And the Baptists didn't believe in divine healing and all these different things. But Brother Branham said there had been a great division during that time. Just like we see, it creeps down through every age. There's always been division. And the word always causes division. But he said, even among the people of God, there had been a division and there was not a lot of people coming out and participating with the meetings. But when Dr. Best made this challenge about divine healing, he said it didn't matter what the people were, if they were oneness, if they were two-ness, if they were three-ness, if they were assemblies of God. He said, whether they were riding a one-hump camel or a two-hump camel or a three-hump camel, they begin to gather together and join together because they had a common enemy. that divine healing was being attacked. Now, they might not have all agreed on certain specific doctrines or in certain specific ways of running services or things like that, but they all believed in divine healing. They believed that that was a promise in the Word, and it was part of the atonement. And so here comes this great group of people and gathers into the Sam Houston Coliseum, and Dr. Best is going to challenge Dr. Bosworth on this thought of divine healing. And there was a moderator there, and they begin to speak, and Dr. Best got up very angrily, and Brother Bosworth just asked him one question. He said, "Were the redemptive names of Jehovah applicable to Jesus Christ, yes or no?" Brother Branham said, I wouldn't have even thought of that one myself. And he said he had him right there on that one question. He had a stack of about 200 questions, but with this one question, he ties Dr. Best in a knot, because if he's Jehovah's Savior, he's got to be Jehovah Healer. If the redemptive name of Savior was applied to Jesus, then the redemptive name of Healer had to be applied to Jesus as well. And he said, "Well, I'll take care of that when I get up there." And got mad. Brother Bosworth said, "I can't believe that you couldn't answer my weakest question." Oh, I would have loved to have met Brother Bosworth. He sounded like a man after my own heart. And, you know, Brother Branham said, he goes on to tell us, he says, talking about Dr. Best, he said, "Bring him forth, let me see him perform. Let me look at the people a year from today, and I'll tell you whether I believe it or not." Brother Bosworth said, "Brother Best, that sounds like another case at Calvary. Come down off the cross, and we'll believe you, see." Now, he made this challenge, and he said, "The Baptists don't believe this." They said, "How many Baptists is here that's been healed in the meetings?" And 300 of them stood up. He said, "Oh, they're not real Baptists." So see, it doesn't matter how much you can prove to somebody. They'll always have, if they're not a believer, believers believe and unbelievers don't believe. We went to the Ark exhibit that they have up in Kentucky, and they had a little film there showing the scoffers in the days of Moses. And you know, when they begin to walk off the scoffers from coming and making fun of Noah in this little film that they had, his wife turned to him and she said, "Scoffers gonna scoff." I thought, that's about right. Unbelievers, they're just going to not believe. Scoffers are going to scoff. And you know, all these attributes that they fulfill. Why? Because it's what's inside of them to begin with. But yet, on the other hand, believers are going to believe. You don't have to convince us. You don't have to show us. You don't have to produce some type of scientific evidence. Once it's been vindicated and we see what it's producing, we don't have to have you. You know, Moses didn't have to come every night and say, "Here's the stick trick again, everybody. I'm going to throw down the stick and it's become a mistake. Let me vindicate my message again." He did it once, and maybe not even everybody saw that, but they went and they began to tell, "You should have been in Pharaoh's room today. You should have seen what I saw." And from one Hebrew, it went to another Hebrew, and there were many there that didn't even see it take place, but yet they believed. And Jesus said, "Blessed are they who believe and didn't even see. They're more blessed." Hey, man, I like to tease Brother Layton. I don't really mean it maybe the way that it comes across, but I say that I'm more blessed than he is, because he was there in 1964 in California and saw Brother Branham turn his back to the people and begin to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Him and Sister Layton spent their honeymoon there in Bakersfield, California, and went to the meetings. And he saw it with his own eyes, and he believed. But I believe the same thing. I didn't see it. Most of you here tonight believe the same thing, yet most of you didn't see it. But how blessed are we tonight? Amen. He's blessed because he saw and he believed, but we're blessed because we didn't have to see. We still believe it. We still believe it. When Moses went down and he began to speak things, you know, there may not have been the whole 2 million Israelites there to hear him say, "Let there be fleas." But yet when they begin to recognize, you know, every time we try to go to work and we get outside of the border of our hometown here in Goshen, we can't hardly walk because there's so many fleas. And one little Israelite says, "I know why. I was there when he said, 'Let there be fleas.'" You didn't have to prove it to them. You didn't have to find a video clip or a recording of it. They believed because they saw the vindication of it. Oh, I feel pretty good tonight. If my voice can just last, my spirit will be doing all right.
Amen. Dr. Beth said, oh, those aren't Baptists. Oh, bring somebody and let me show him to us. Show him, let him perform for us and heal somebody here. Brother Bosworth said, another case at Calvary. Come down off the cross and we'll believe you. I want to say tonight, those Pharisees and Sadducees would not have believed him if those nails had disintegrated, if the wounds had wrapped themselves back up around, if the crown of thorns had fallen from his head and every spot had healed up and the blood had sucked back into his head and he would have flown around the earth and angels had followed him. They would have said, see, we told you it was Beelzebub. He just bewitched the cross and the nails and he just bewitched the crown of thorns. They didn't matter what they saw, they weren't going to believe it. They had seen a man that was dead 4 days come back out of the tomb. Brother Randy, they had been to the funeral of this man. They had been there when they rolled the stone over this man and he had been wrapped up and they sat there for 4 days and mourned him. And Jesus straightens his little frail body and he goes down to the tomb and he said, Lazarus! Said he cried with a loud voice. I know that scares a lot of message churches, but that's what it said. Said he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Brother Branham said if he had not said the name of Lazarus, every person in the grave would have rose. I don't know how I made it that far, Brother Layton, but thank you. Every person, every dead person, if he had said come forth, they would have rose. So he was very specific. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. These men had stood there, many of them scribes and Pharisees, and they wondered at this thing. And they said, my, how does this man do these things? Some of them said, oh my, he does it by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Well, I don't know what kind of devils they had seen, but I've never seen a devil raise the dead. I've never seen a devil heal somebody. Brother Branham said emphatically, the devil cannot heal. The devil cannot heal. Oh, my, you see somebody healed. Brother Bram said, oh, that man said, oh, there's a lady in our town. She's a witch. And she plucks the hair off of somebody and runs it through her blood and throws it behind them. And she tells them whether they're going to be healed or not. And he said, about 90% of them are. Brother Bram said, that's not that witch healing those people. He said, it's those people's faith because they think they're approaching God. It's the same thing. Some of these men out here tell evangelists and things that would make fun of Brother Branham, that would make fun of the very Bible principles that we stand for, yet multiplied hundreds being healed in their meetings. How can it be? Go back and listen to Anointed Ones at the End Time in 1965, and he'll explain to you how it could be. They have an anointing on their flesh, but yet it's not those men that are healing those people. It's the faith of the people thinking they're approaching God through those people. And they stood there and saw these things and they made fun of it and they criticized. And here he is on the cross and they say, come on down, Jesus. You say you're the King of Kings. You say you're the King of the Jews. Come down and we'll believe you, us Jews. We'll believe you. They would not have believed it. I want to say again tonight, doesn't matter how many death certificates you can produce. Doesn't matter how many eyewitness testimonies that you can record. Doesn't matter how many documents and doctor's records and things you can produce from the meetings or how many prophecies that we can prove were given before they happened. There will still be an element of people that will not believe it no matter what you show them because it's the same spirit that's worked its way down through every age. And if they couldn't believe it when Moses stood there and the Red Sea began to part, and men begin to walk across. If Pharaoh couldn't believe it then, he wasn't going to believe no matter what Moses did. Brother Bram says, in the revelation that was given to me in 1960, I come to the platform. I walked over to Mr. Best, shook his hand. I said, how do you do, Mr. Best? He said, Mr. Branham, as a man, I admire you, but as doctrine, I don't believe you're right. I said, that's just the way I feel too. He says it this way in Early Spiritual Experiences in 1952. He says, I said, that's a mutual feeling. Here this man stands. He says, Brother Branham, as far as a man, I think you're all right. But as far as your doctrine, I think it's lousy. He said, that's a mutual feeling. Again, the revelation that was given to me in 1960. So then I said, I'm surprised, Brother Best, that you would make the remark that you did. When you said, let the healer come forth and perform, let him do something, let me see it. I said, Brother Best, don't you understand that's the same spirit was on the Pharisees? He didn't water it down and baby him and pet him and say, oh, Dr. Best, God bless you, brother. We just love you and respect you. Look, let's just talk about something that we can agree on. You know, we obviously don't agree on this aspect of the message or the Bible. And let's just all get along and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And let's just talk about something we agree on. We know we disagree on divine healing. Let's not talk about that. That's not what he said. He said, don't you understand that's the same spirit was on the Pharisees? Don't you see, Brother Best, that's the spirit of the devil? Was not it the devil that said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, make bread out of these stones? Perform a miracle. Let me see. God don't do things like that. He doesn't mind the devil. Amen. God's not going to perform a trick just to prove to the devil that he's God. God has already proved that he's God. Amen. When God said, let there be light, and there was light where there had never been light for all of eternity, and he speaks in something that had never happened through all of eternity. We think in hundreds of years and thousands of years and centuries and, you know, generations and things. But he had been living out there in eternity, and there had never been light. And he speaks and says, let there be light. And light begins to burst forth. He said, let there be, and there was. Let there be an earth. Let there be a moon. Let there be a star. Let there be a firmament around the earth. And let the waters divide themselves from the waters. And he began to speak. And whatever he said, it would happen. He said, oh, by the way, let there be a Lucifer. And he creates Lucifer, knowing that he would become the devil. Brother Branham said he didn't create the devil. He created Lucifer, knowing that he would become the devil. And now Lucifer stands and challenges him and says, if thou be the Son of God, if you be the King of Kings. He could have turned and said, Lucifer, I created you. I knew you when you was still a mighty star back there. I knew you when you was in the Garden of Eden back there. And he began to speak to him in Ezekiel about how he was back there and how he was, that same spirit had worked its way down into the king of Tyre. And he begins to preach that serpent seed way back there in Ezekiel. And he says, Lucifer, O son of the morning, I knew you. You was perfect in the day I created you. You were perfect in the day I created you, because when I created everything, I looked and I said, it is good. But yet, iniquity began to set into you. Iniquity began to set into you, and that's why you're in the state that you are now. I like what Brother Jack said the other night when he was talking about those pig farmers down in Gadara. And he said, you know, the spirits that were in Legion, they began to cry out and said, send us into the hogs. And he said, Jesus permitted them to go into the hogs, and they ran themselves down the cliff and killed themselves. And he said, that same devil will tell you that God don't answer prayer, but yet God answered his prayer when he begged him to send him into the hogs. Amen. He knows who God is. He knows that God's a healer. He knows that, you know, there's a lot of these people out here, I don't know if they're just trying to whistle in the dark and try to pretend and convince themselves that they don't believe Brother Branham was a prophet so that they can go live whatever lifestyle they want, or if they really absolutely are so deceived that they believe that. But I'll tell you, it's one person that believes that he was a vindicated prophet, and that's the devil. Because he saw it night after night. I told Brother Jack the other day, I said, I'm going to preach a sermon sometime and call it Believe Like the Devil. If you can't believe, if you can't get enough faith to believe like the bride or believe like God, at least believe like the devil, because it said he believes and trembles. He believes and trembles. He believes. He's seen it in action. He's been cast out more services than anybody's been cast out. He's attended more services than anybody's attended. He's seen it in action. You don't have to find a death certificate to prove to him that Brother Branham was a prophet. Amen. But yet he'll convince others, put a question mark in their mind. What about this? And what about that? If, you know, if this is real, let's see it perform a little bit. Don't you recognize that Pharisee spirit? Faith by Experience, 1958. Many people like to say, to puff their chest out and say, oh, there's no such a thing as divine healing. Let me challenge them to heal this one. Some fellow told me not long ago, first he made a statement on the radio just behind me, my broadcast. Then he said, if they can prove one healing, I'll give $1,000. A doctor was listening in. This doctor, this was at Jonesboro, Arkansas. A doctor was listening in. He called me up. He said, Brother Branham, why don't you get this certain fellow that had been paralyzed and this preacher who had cancer on his neck? They are my patients. I can witness to him that they were healed by the power of God. I gathered up a load and we went over to this minister's house. He told me, well, he said, I tell you, you have to go over to Texas. And then I said, you want me to take him over there? I'll put that $1,000 in mission work. And he said, well, you take the little girl and go over there. And if you take a knife and cut her arm and then heal it before us, and we'll believe you. This man has a doctor standing in his home. He has an ex-paralytic standing in his home. This man was paralyzed with his own medical doctor standing there saying, I attended to this man for years. I treated him to the best of my ability. I gave him the best medicines I could to make him comfortable. I did everything that medical science would allow me to do to him. But then one night he went to Brother Branham's meeting and now he stands before you in perfect health. He had another man there. He said, this man was my patient. I was treating him the best that I knew how. The best medicine that science had upgraded to at that point to be able to give this man to try to prevent and try to help with this cancer. But it hadn't done any good. He had a cancer on his neck. But this man walked into his meeting and he walked out with no cancer on his neck. Amen. We just saw that same God still alive. Amen. That same God still makes cancers disappear. Whether it's on the head or the neck or the breast or the armpit or the leg or wherever it's at. He's still God that heals. He's still God that delivers. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still Hebrews 13:8 tonight. And they had these men in his home. And he said, well, let's take this little girl over here and let's take a knife and cut her arm. And you heal that and then we'll believe you. I love Brother Branham's response to this man. I said, you need mental healing. That's what I like to tell some of them. Some of the stuff they come off up with that's so off the message, it's unbelievable. I'd like to look at some of them and say, you need mental healing. Some of them that walk away and could see the serpent seed at one time, and now they've gone back to a Baptist church and they believe it was an apple. I'd like to shake my head at them and say, you need mental healing. Any man would want to cut a child's arm to see if he could heal it, not even mentally right. They don't know it. What is it? It's because they like to brag and blow about something that they don't know what they're talking about. Just exactly. Oh, they like to brag and blow about something they don't know what they're talking about. I know a lot of you, you know, you get curious, and if you're not careful, you go out and wonder, oh, what's this one saying about Brother Branham now? What's that one saying about Brother Branham now? Be careful. Those Pharisee spirits are still around today. They still like to say, oh, well, if he would have just did this, we would have believed. If he would have just did that, they would have believed. They need mental healing. And all they like to do is to brag and to huff and to puff. But I'd like to go to some of their websites and see if they have pictures like we shared tonight of a cancer being there one day and being gone the next day. I'd like to see if any of their websites have testimonies like Brother Joel has of one report saying hepatitis B and a week later saying immune to hepatitis B. I'd like to go on some of their websites and see if they have any testimonies like little Olivia sitting here who her chiropractor x-rayed her back and it was crooked as a corkscrew. And the next year when they x-rayed it, it was straight as an arrow. They don't have testimonies like that. They don't have testimonies of people getting saved and healed and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. What they do have is a lot of bitterness and a lot of hatred and attacking the very thing that came in this age to set them free. But they hate it. They hate the truth and they love a lie. I'm so thankful that God just made me the exact opposite of that. That I hate a lie and I love the truth. Oh, if you love the truth tonight, you should thank God that He placed something down on the inside of you to love the truth. A love of the truth. We take it for granted sometimes. We get out of bed and we put our pants on, or you sisters put your skirts on, and we go over and we say our prayer and we turn on a tape and we begin to listen and we begin to rejoice. And the things that Brother Branham's saying, we just, amen, thank you, Jesus. You don't recognize, don't let that become common to you. You don't recognize many times because you've listened to it over and over and over how privileged you are to be able to stand in your living room or sit in a church or sit in your car and listen to that voice and every word of it ring true with your spirit. You're privileged tonight. We're privileged tonight to have that desire and to have that love for the truth. When there's other people, maybe initially, maybe they were better people than we were. If you had looked at them in their teenage years and some of us in our teenage years, some of the things we did, they would have looked a lot better off than us. To compare us, but their self-righteousness can't get them into the kingdom. And self-righteousness only hangs on as long as the person can hang on. But once the Holy Spirit enters in, it's not you hanging on anymore. It's Him hanging on to you. Amen. Amen. We're blessed tonight. Yes. He says again, Israel and the Church, part 1, 1953. What people needs is their brains baptized besides their water. That's right. All right. Excuse that sharp expression, he says, but I like to really let her soak in. We want a revival, and brother, you got to stir the thing up. Oh my, we're trying to do that. Stir the thing up a little bit. He says, before you can do it, you got to get Satan kicked away. Don't fuss with them. Take your grounds and stand there. Don't argue with them on Facebook. Don't argue with them on Twitter. Don't try to prove the devil wrong. Don't argue with them. Don't debate with them. Don't try to prove everybody wrong. Stand your ground, believe what you believe, and stand there. And when Satan whispers in your ear, don't argue with him and say, like Eve did, I guess that's right. You know, God is a good God, and I don't understand this, and I don't understand that. You better be careful when you start talking to the devil. Amen. Brother Branham talked to the devil quite a bit. But when he talked to the devil, it was usually conversations like this. Satan, you demon, you tormentor of a tumor or a cancer, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of the woman. That was usually his conversations with the devil. He didn't sit around and say, now, you know, when I read Malachi 4 the first time, I really felt like that was talking about me. But now, you know, I'm just so discouraged and I'm down and depressed. And I don't know, maybe Satan's right. Maybe that's not really me. Maybe I'm not really the fulfillment of Revelations 10:7. And he didn't sit and argue and debate with the devil like that. No, when he talked to the devil, he was kicking the devil out of somebody. Amen. Israel and the Church, he said, we read it, what the people needs is their brain baptized. He says, don't fuss with them. Take your grounds and stand there. Had to battle him around the world, and every other Christian that ever stood for God has to battle him. But if you know what you're standing in, what you know is to be the truth, it's thus saith the Lord, you can stand there. You can stand there. Oh my, I had one of these guys that had left the message a while back. He said, you know, you must be in it for the money. He said, that's why you've hung around the message. He said, because there's no way with all the things that we've come up with where they thought Brother Branham was wrong. You know, he said, there's no way that you would stay with it unless you wasn't in it for the money. I said, yeah, that's right. It's all about the money for me. That's why I started a church in my home with my wife and my children. I was just money hungry. And I knew all those tithes that my wife was making from that job that she didn't have was just going to take care of us. What is it? They have a boast. And they have something that they want to say, but they don't know what they're talking about. Amen. They don't know what they're talking about, Brother David. Amen. I recognize it may not be a very, very big gift that God has given me compared to some of these other men around the message. God has placed some anointed men around this message. But you take my gift and place it up beside some of these other Pentecostal and Baptist guys, and it would look pretty good. And I could probably go out there and make myself a decent living as a Baptist preacher or a Pentecostal preacher. But I couldn't stomach it, Brother Jimmy, to go out there and ordain women preachers and baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't keep my food down. Now, I know a lot of them have gone back to that, but it's exactly like the Bible said, like a dog to its vomit. Oh, that's strong, Brother Nathan. Well, that's what the Bible said. Said they would have been better off if they never knew anything about this than to come to it and receive the knowledge of the truth and then go back like a dog to its vomit and a hog to its wallow. I don't know about you. I'm not going back to the hog wallow. I'm not going back to the vomit. Hey, man, we've got pure eagle's food. I'm not going, as I said the other night, back to the chicken yard and scratching around in the manure when I've got some eagle's food. Said where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Amen. We've got a fresh carcass in this age, a fresh anointing of Malachi 4 that came in this age to restore us back. I'm not going back to the old chicken barns of some day gone by. We've got a fresh kill in this age. Amen. That eagle came down and swooped down and began to restore the word back and began to scream out. And why did we recognize it? Because we were eagles too. The indictment, 1963. Brother Branham, he's talking about this situation again, this man that wanted to cut the little girl's arm. He said, wait a minute, let me tell you something. I'll take a little girl with me and let me take a razor and cut her arm. Now, I recognize that the defectors would pick this apart because he said a knife in the first quote, Brother Nathan, and he said a razor in the second quote, and that just stumbles my faith. Well, you better not go back. And this is about 10 years apart that he's telling the story, Brother Randy. But he said a knife in one quote and he said a razor in the other. And doesn't that stumble your faith, Brother Nathan? Doesn't that weaken your faith, Brother Hoover? No more than when Paul goes and he tells about his conversion in the beginning of Acts. And then he comes around and tells it in the end of Acts. And, you know, if you want to criticize it and look at it from an atheist point of view, it looks like almost two different stories. Doesn't stumble my faith. Because when you look at it by revelation, you recognize he wasn't contradicting himself. Amen. They want to nitpick things like this. They want to nitpick dates and names and numbers. They better not read their Bible, because an atheist will sure confuse them on some names and dates and numbers in the Bible if they don't have revelation. They can sure do it. Here's how I take it, Brother Trevor. How am I to know that the man, when he was standing there, didn't say, let me go get a knife or a razor and go cut the little girl's arm? I wasn't there. I don't know. And Brother Branham comes in one quote and he says he said a knife. And he comes in one quote and he says a razor. And they say, look at him contradicting himself. But he may not have contradicted himself at all. And if he did, he's just referring to a story that happened probably 10 years before that. I want some of you to come and tell me a story tonight. I want Brother Hoover to retell this story about God blessing him with a car in 10 years and see if he tells every detail the same. And then are you going to call him a false prophet? Because he said, you know, he said 68,303 miles. And in 10 years when he comes, he says 68,307 miles. And we say, oh, Brother Hoover, oh, we had confidence in you, Brother Hoover, but we recognize now that you are just a false prophet. That Pharisee spirit is still alive today. Oh my. I want to point to you as well tonight that it has, that whether it was a knife or a razor has nothing to do with the moral of the story. He said, wait a minute, let me tell you something. I'll take a little girl and let me take a razor and cut her arm. And then you heal it before our brethren and they'll give you the money. I said, you devil. Now Jesus said this. He called them devils and hypocrites and whited walls. And he said, you garnish the prophets' tombs, but you're the ones that put them in there. And he talked like this. But you know, we think of Jesus as just meek and lowly and humble and going along and dedicating the babies and you know, blessing the people and healing the people. But he would turn around and call those Pharisees out and tell them what they really were. And now Brother Branham runs up against this same spirit, and he didn't say, brother, let's just agree to disagree, brother. He said, you devil, if thou be the Son of God, come off this cross. Tell us who hit you with a rag around his head. Hit him on it and said, now if you're a prophet, tell us who prophet. He said, if thou be the Son of God, come down off the cross. Blind leaders of the blind, they need mental healing. A man that do a thing like that or make a remark like that, certainly. But yet we many times, we get scared. What if I hurt somebody's feelings? What if what if somebody in the congregation, you know, if I preach on homosexuals, you know, Sister Susie over here at so-and-so's church, she's got a niece that's a homosexual, and she might listen to the service, and I would offend her, and all my, what if I got up and I said something about the mayor, and one of his relatives goes to this church over here, and you know, they wind up putting me in jail, and we begin to think about all those things if you're not careful, and begin to water down the word of God. But John the Baptist, when he went out there and maybe saw some of Herod's own men standing out in the crowd, and he said, it's not lawful for you to take your brother's wife and marry her. He began to preach marriage and divorce to him, and he didn't care how many times they put him in prison or if they took his head. He was going to preach the word of God and not compromise with it. Amen. Brother Branham said, you devil, you need your brains baptized. Oh my, there's something about it. I can follow a man like that. He wasn't, you know, he didn't water it down like some of these guys. Oh, God loves you, and God bless you, and God wants you to have this, and God wants you to have that. He said, no, God's not going to bless you in your sin. God's not going to prosper you in your sin. Oh, he might prosper you financially. He said, you know, we got down there to the businessmen, the Christian businessmen. They said, oh, God is with us because we're driving more bigger vehicles and better vehicles and more vehicles this year than we was last year, and we got bigger incomes than we had last year and more businesses and building bigger barns and all this. He said, excuse me, brothers, prostitution increased 40% last year. Is God blessing that? They didn't like that too much because they wanted a prosperity gospel. But he said, recognize what that spirit is. It's not always blessings like that that it comes. But he stood and he called it for what it was in the word of God. There's something about it. You know, a man like Moses, you go back and you read the Bible. I thought it was amazing. The other day I ran across it, Brother Hoover. He sits down and he begins to write Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Genesis. And he sits down, he begins to write his own life story. And he sits down and he gets his pen and he says, now Moses was the meekest of all the men on the face of the earth. Easy for you to say, Moses. Let's ask your wife what she thinks about it. Let her write a little bit of Numbers. Let her write a little bit of Deuteronomy. But it wasn't Moses that was writing. If it was Moses that was writing, how did he know that Esau was red and hairy? How did he know the conversation that Sarah was having in her heart when the angel spoke to her with his back turned to the tent? We focus on, oh my, it was amazing that the angel could stand there with his back to the tent and call out Sarah what was on her heart. What was more amazing to me is that Moses could sit down 1,000 years later and write the very same thing. Yet he wasn't there, but it was God writing it through him. And maybe he would sit there, Lord, don't make me write that. Lord, they won't understand if I write that. They're going to think that that's me bragging on me. He said, you write it, Moses. It's me bragging on you, not you bragging on you. Amen. And he sits down and he writes, Moses was the meekest of all the men on the face of the earth. And he's thinking back to, yeah, that meek guy that grabbed the stones and that God had come down on Mount Sinai with his presence there so strong, I fell on my face day and night for 40 days and 40 nights without a drink of water or a bite of food in that presence. And his presence so strong there, it even changed my facial expressions that the people saw a glow from my face. It changed the color of my hair when I came down off the mountain. And he came and he wrote with his own finger, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. And he writes with his own finger. And I came down and saw my people, my congregation, I left for just a little vacation to get alone with God, and I come back and the whole congregation backslid, even my priest. And I got so mad, I took those stones that God had carved with his finger and I smashed them on the ground. The meekest of all the men upon the face of the earth. I lost my temper with that Egyptian. I thought, I'm going to take care of this. He's hurting my brother. I'm going to take care of this one right here. And I killed him and I hit him under the sand. The meekest of all the men upon the face of the earth. I lost my temper with my wife back on the backside of the desert, and she lost her temper with me, and I went down to deliver Israel and didn't even have my own house in order, didn't have my children circumcised, and God was going to try to find me in the end to kill me. And my wife said, Moses, I took care of this for you because I was concerned about you. You're a bloody man. The meekest of all the men upon the face of the earth. God told me verbatim, go and speak to the rock. And I got so mad at those stubborn people that he left me with 2 million of them with their 2 million problems. I went down and I smote the rock instead of speaking to it. The meekest of all the men on the face of the earth. But see, Moses, it was hard for him to write that, I'm sure, because he was looking at what Moses saw in Moses. And he was looking about what so-and-so going to say about what Moses wrote. And he was looking at what does so-and-so think about me being the meekest man. But God was looking at what God thought about Moses. Amen. Trying to do God a service, 1965. God sent the miracles and signs to attract the attention of the people. I'm so glad that he did. Amen. I'm so glad there was a bait on the hook to get our attention. He says, when Jesus come just healing the sick and so forth, so did the prophets. They thought, oh glory, he's a coming. He's going to be a Pharisee. He's going to be a Sadducee. They was making preparations, whatever group they belonged to. Brother Randy, can't you just wait? Oh my, he's going to come down. He's going to greet us Sadducees. And oh my, those Pharisees are really going to know once he comes and makes himself known to us. And we're going to say, ha! We've got the Messiah, not you bunch of backslidden Pharisees. And the Pharisees was over at their little assembly. Oh my, those Sadducees, they think they've really got something. They really think God's with them. Wait till Messiah comes to our church and we'll show them a thing or two about who God's really with. He's a coming. He's going to be a Pharisee. No, he's going to be a Sadducee. He's going to be with our group. But he said, you generation of serpents and vipers, said you're of your father the devil, his works you'll do. They couldn't handle it because he wouldn't pick a side. And they couldn't figure out, now is he with the Pharisee camp or is he with the Sadducee camp? I can't understand. Let me bring it down to today. Now is he tape only or is he preacher only? I can't find a camp to put him in. Is he Perusia? Is he Thunders? Or is he two lords? Or I can't find a camp to put him in. They couldn't handle it. When Brother Branham was here, are you assemblies? Are you oneness? Just join up with one of us and we'll really get behind you and back you. He said, no, God told me not to join up with any of you. To stand right in the middle and call from both sides. I thank God that he sent us a prophet like that. Mark chapter 1 verse 21. And they went into Capernaum and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now I want you to notice this is almost the same story. But he's not in Gennesaret. He didn't cross a stormy sea that night. He's not on the beach, on the sand there, just getting off of the Sea of Galilee and stepping onto the beach at Gennesaret. But it's almost the exact same story as Legion. But yet this says it was at Capernaum, and he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now what people would do today is they would say, aha, here we have two different quotes. And Mark says he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and these others say that he was in Gennesaret when this happened. No, don't you recognize that God can do the same thing more than once? Amen. Oh, I heard that it was over here that this took place, and Brother so-and-so said it was over there, and Brother Branham said in one place that the man was dead, and then another time he said he was still alive 12 years later with the same condition. Don't you ever think he could have been talking about more than one man? Don't you ever think that maybe God did the same thing in more than one meeting? Out of the thousands and multiplied thousands of times that miracles happened. The problem is we get like those people Brother Bram talked about that he said they're so narrow-minded that if you put a pencil between their eyes, it would blind them. Amen. They went into Capernaum and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. I like that. He didn't teach like these guys back here that was just, they was talking about it, but they wasn't performing anything. But he taught like what he said he could really back up. He didn't talk like these guys out here on websites that's just making fun of the prophet, but he actually came out and challenged the devil and challenged cancers and things, and it fell right off of people. There's something about being able to do this and then God coming and backing it up. It's two different things. It's one thing to run your mouth and say, well, I think Brother Branham was wrong over here, and I think he made a mistake over there, and I think that this was wrong over here, and this wasn't inspired, and he was off the word over there, and I think he told a lie over here, and that, you know, he kind of fabricated over there. All right, let's come and see God vindicate you then. Let's come and see you, you know, deliver 7 truckloads full of sick and afflicted and have their crutches and their wheelchairs and things like that. Bring us 7 truckloads that you've delivered and then maybe we'll give you a chance. Maybe we'll stop to listen to you for a little bit. You raised 10 from the dead like we have quotes of that he did. You raised 10 or 11. Let's just go a little further than he did if you're really more vindicated than him. You raise 11 and come, and then we'll talk about it if you want to say he was wrong. But until you do that, we don't even want to talk about it. People want to say, oh, I've got the third pull. Let's see you impersonate or do or perform the first and second pull, and then we'll see about the third pull. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Amen. Luke chapter 4 verse 32 said, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Amen. We didn't just follow a prophet that came and said, you know, way back in the days of Moses, this great thing happened and that great thing happened. And way back in the days of Jonah, the fish, and way back in the days, he brought the Bible alive to us again. Amen. He brought Christ up out of history. And a lot of these that are leaving the message, they're trying to take you back to history. They're trying to take you back to a Baptist Jesus or a Methodist Jesus or a Pentecostal Jesus or a Catholic Jesus. I don't want some make-believe Jesus. I don't want some God of some man's imagination of what he made up and thought it was. I want a God of the Bible. And if the God of the Bible is with us, then Bible days will be here again with signs and wonders following. Thank God that we're able to recognize it. Souls that are in prison now, 1963. You said, oh, if we would have lived back in the time of St. Paul, yeah, I would have took sides with St. Paul. He said, you hypocrites. See, why don't you take the side with this doctrine? Oh, we would have been with St. Paul. Well, then why are you cutting your hair? Why are you wearing immodest clothes? Why are you allowing women preachers in your churches? Why are you doing all these things that St. Paul taught? If you was really going to take sides with them, why don't you take sides with his doctrine? You would have done the same thing then you done now, for you are the children of your fathers, your organizational fathers, Pharisees, Sadducees, and self-righteous. That's it. I'll tell you. And to the hour that we live, wonder if this could be the third pull. Just a minute now. See, Jesus said this kind receives greater damnation. See, isn't it awful? As a great American one time, when the enemy was about to take this country, there's a man in the midnight hour jumped up on a horse and rode down the road screaming, the enemy is coming. He says it was Paul Revere. He says, I'm an American too, and I'm riding this midnight hour. Not saying the enemy is coming, but he's here. He ain't coming. He's already here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, John tells us he was already there way back then. He says, this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. He's not coming. He's here. That Antichrist spirit is here. The Pharisee spirit is not something we need to look for way off in the future somewhere. That hypocrite spirit is not something we need to look way off in the future somewhere. It's here. It's been here. Right when the Holy Spirit hit the face of the earth, the Antichrist here hit the face of the earth at the same time. And Brother Bram said those two have worked their way down through the church ages. Those two vines have grown right along together, weaving themselves in and out of those church ages all the way down. That same spirit that was back there is still here today. Amen. Three kinds of believers, 1963. But would you have stood with the apostles to a man like that when the showdown came? Or would you actually have walked off with the 70 and say, well, we'll go back to our church if that's the way you're going to teach, saying that you, the Son of Man, when after all, who are you? What are you? A man like I am. I eat with you and trying to say you're something. I've watched you. I've seen your weakness. I've seen you cry. I've seen you do this, that, or the other. I've seen you go in the wilderness with us and everything else like that now, and you're just a man and say you come down from heaven. They were looking at this. They were looking at the flesh. And they said, now wait a minute. He goes in, he eats the same fish as us. He drinks the same wine as us. He rides on the same brand of boat that we ride on. He fishes with the same brand of net that we fish with. He puts on his sandals the same way I do every morning and say he came from heaven. Who does he think he is? It wasn't who he thought he was. It was who he was. It was who God had made him. God had made him more than just a mortal man. God had made him more than just a sinner saved by grace. He was born sinless, and God came and tabernacled so completely in him that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt inside this vessel. And they said, who do you think you are? You're just a man. You're not a man over 50. I think my boy went to school with you. Who do you think you are? That's too much for me, he said. Would you have walked up with them? Or would you have walked out with the 70? Or would you have walked on with the apostles in Christ? He says again, taking sides with Jesus, 1962. Why they called him Beelzebub, his doctrine they couldn't understand. Why he disagrees with all the traditions of the fathers. He even disagrees with the Pharisees. He disagrees with the Sadducees. He disagrees with the whole group of them. It would be a lot easier sometimes if we just pick a side. Pick somebody. Pick some group. Stand with somebody. Pick one doctrine or this doctrine or that group or that group or that camp or that camp. And pick something and stand with them. You know, at least they'd be with you. But he said, I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not a Sadducee. I'm not a zealot. I'm not all these different things. Who are you? Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
You're a man like us. Not over 50. I've seen you go out there and catch fish. I've seen you sit down. I watched you the other day after that prayer line. I saw you go up on the side of the mountain with a headache and say you came down out of heaven. It was too much for him. Now, where does he get his doctrine, Brother Branham says? From the Bible, of course. Well, you say, well, do I know that that's right? He said, God backed it up. Amen. How do you know that this is right in this age? How do you know that what Brother Branham told you is the truth? Maybe you sit there and say, well, that's what my mommy and my daddy's taught me, and that's what Brother Nathan says, and that's what Brother so-and-so over here at this church says, and it's all been taught my whole life, but maybe I've just been brainwashed. Maybe these guys are right. How do I know that it's right? Because God backed it up. Because it was right along with his word. You go out here to some of these denominations and look at some of these guys preaching the gospel and see if you can get through a whole sermon and count how many times they're off the word. See if God backs it up. But he came out and he said, thus saith the Lord, this, this, and this. And if it doesn't happen, call me a false prophet. He wasn't afraid to make the challenge because it wasn't him making the challenge in the first place. God had already showed him exactly the way it was going to be. Elijah came out there and he said, oh, maybe your God's taking a vacation. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's taking a nap. Scream a little louder. You wake him. Pour a little bit more water on my altar over here. Let's fill it up. Give me a few more barrels. Let's fill it. Let's fill the whole trench full of water. Didn't matter how much water he had poured on it. He had already seen the sacrifice burning in vision. He said, pour a little more water on it. It's not going to change that vision. And he comes over and he prays after he's kind of made fun of him and had a good time. And he comes over and he stands and he says, Lord, I did all these things because it's what you showed me to do. I did it at your commandment. He didn't just walk out there haphazardly and name it and claim it and push and shove and try to force something and make up something that he wasn't. He said, Lord, I did all this at your commandment because you told me to do it. Now, Lord, you told me to do it. You come and back it up. And the fire began to fall. And it didn't just consume the sacrifice. It consumed the stones. It consumed the water. It consumed the trench. It consumed it all. Our God is a consuming fire. Amen. If it's God, he's not ashamed to back up his own word. Oh, I pray that he comes and does it again. He doesn't have to. We've already had a sacrifice in this age. He doesn't in this day. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and was the sacrifice once and for all. We don't have to lay a lamb out here and wait for God to, Lord, is this your word? Are you going to come and consume it? But what we do is we lay ourselves at the altar and we lay our pride at the altar and we lay our doubt and we lay our bitterness and our malice and our temper and our stubbornness and all of our unbelief, and we lay it at the altar and we say, God, this is your word. Come and consume it all. Take it all away, Lord. I don't want any of it. Take it all away. Lord, I believe this is your word. I believe you sent a prophet in this age. I believe that St. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, these signs, Jesus said, will follow us, And here they are following us. Here they are going to every nation. And it's not just for us, but it's unto all that believe. This Holy Ghost isn't just for us 120 up here in the upper room, or the 3,000 that came and heard about it afterwards. It's unto you and to your children and all those, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Lord, come and consume it again, Father. Come and consume our desires. Come and consume our wickedness and our evilness and our negligence and our inability. Come and consume it all, Lord. Come and consume our sacrifice tonight. Amen. He says again, taking sides with Jesus, 1962. That's where his doctrine, they denounced him, all of his claims. They said he has no, his claims was wrong of being a Messiah. How could he be a Messiah and not come to the church? How could he be a Messiah and here we are, the cream of Israel? How could he be Messiah? I haven't even seen him attend a Pharisee service in about 6 months. And yet he claims to be the Messiah. I heard he's been going down here to so-and-so's. I heard he visited the Sadducees the other night. Can you believe that, Sister Jeannie? The nerve. If he was really the Messiah, he'd come to the Pharisees, and the Sadducees said, oh, no, 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 no. If he were Messiah, he'd be right here. How could he be Messiah? And here we are, the cream of Israel. I love this. Brother Branham says, but the cream had soured. See, oh, yes, sir, had flies in it, so they had to skim that off. Oh, God help us tonight not to let our cream sour. Not to get so stagnant and self-righteous and think that God only moves at the church of the open door, that he says, that cream is soured. I'll just move on and go somewhere else. Oh, I'm so glad that he doesn't just move here, but he moves at other local churches. He moves in Zimbabwe. He moves in China. He moves over in London. He moves down in South America. He moves over in Japan. Anywhere that God's people will welcome him, if there's just two or three gathered together, he said, I'll be in their midst. If they come in my name, I'll be in their midst. Amen. I don't know about you. I just take him at his word tonight. Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come. God help us not to be found standing saying, Lord, just show me another sign. Lord, just show me another vindication. Show me another this. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We've seen many healings take place in this church. God has blessed us in that way. We've seen a lot of supernatural things. People healed instantly, some of them. Some of them healed over a period of time. Some of them healed overnight. We've seen him do many mighty things for us. I'm thankful of that. But if he never does one more thing, if he never heals another person until we go out of here in a rapture, if he never saves another person, if we never feel a mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit again, I don't believe that he would leave us down here without those things. But that's not what's convincing me that this is vindicated. I've already been convinced. Amen. God doesn't have to sell it to me. He doesn't have to convince me night after night. Oh, are we in his will or are we not in his will? I don't know. Is this really the truth or is it not the truth? We've seen it too many times. Amen. We've seen God move too many times. We've seen him do too many things. We've seen him answer too many prayers. If he never blesses me again, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he's faithful and true. I know what he's done for me. I know he's able to perform, but as the Hebrew children stand, even if he doesn't, we still won't bow. We still won't bow down to denominational traditions. We still won't bow down to dogmas and creeds. Whatever God wants, we'll stand for him. We'll stand for the word. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. I think this is number 294 in your hymn book if you don't know it. Oh, too many miles behind me, there are too many trials are through, and there's too many tears, Lord, to help me remember. Oh, I've got too much to gain, to lose. Oh, there are too many sunsets, Lord, they lie behind the mountains.
got too much to gain, to lose.
Maybe this is your testimony tonight. Oh, I have crossed the hot burning desert. Oh, I was struggling for the right road to choose.
The bride won't use. Oh, there are too many sunsets. Lord, they lie behind the mountain. Oh, there are too many rivers. Lord, my feet have fallen through. There are too many treasures. I've got too much to gain.
Oh, let's sing it again to him tonight.
I've got too much to gain, to lose.
Let's sing it again together.
Oh, there. Waiting over yonder.
Oh, a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending days where night will never be.
Together and sing it tonight. Nobody will misunderstand your text messages or your emails. From all enmity and strife will be free. There no us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Fathers, we approach you at the end of this service, Lord, how grateful we are for a sermon such as this. There'll be many that wouldn't understand it. But Father, we know it's just simply pointing us back to the Word, encouraging us to stay with that Word and to realize that there's many around the message that really don't believe it. Lord, they just go through the motions. They go to church and they listen to tapes. They may sing and they may shout and they may clap. They may walk out in the parking lot and they may preach their messages or their personal revelations. But Lord, even the Pharisees did that. They could talk the talk and they could make the rules so strict that others couldn't stand and walk in the way that they wanted them to walk. And so pious and self-righteous. Father, one day you came down and you went to the sinners such as I. And oh God, you went to the simple people. And look who you picked, Lord, a fisherman that couldn't write his name. But you also picked a theologian, but he had to give up all he knew to accept you. Father, that's the way we feel tonight. Not the theologian part, Lord, but just the ignorant fisherman that seen and heard and believed. Oh God, all I know is to point people back to the message of the hour. All I know is what your prophet taught. And I know that that is the truth. Father, I ask that you'll continue to bless this church. We have those sitting here tonight that still need the Holy Ghost, and I ask you to call them. We have some that are suffering in body, but we ask you to heal them. We have some that are going through great trials and tests. I ask you to deliver them. The Lord, the main thing is the salvation of the souls, the Holy Ghost. Lord, deal with every heart that doesn't know you tonight. They may have repented. They may have even been baptized, but if they haven't pushed their way into that holiest of holies, if they haven't been on their knees crying out in desperation for you to come and fill their lives, Lord, deal with them tonight. Doesn't matter if they're 8 years old or 80 years old. Father, you deal with them. The pastor can't bring them. The evangelist can't bring them. The missionaries can't bring them. The teachers can't bring them. The prophets can't bring them. All we can do is point them to the word and preach it in power and demonstration, and you bring them. And I know, Father, that your word says there's not a one going to be lost. For Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me will come. Father, as we depart this building, let us not depart from your presence. May the angels that came with us, may they go with us. Keep us all safe. Keep us in the center of your perfect will. Bring us back at the appointed time. We give you praise and honor and glory for all that we've heard of the healings and the blessings that you've bestowed upon your children. Thank you for it, Lord. Now be with us. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. And if you tarry, Lord, bring us back Sunday morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's sing that as we go.
What will it be when we get